This is the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we sample around the world the amazing humans that exist in the land of human design, gene keys, astrology, metaphysics, all the things. In this series, we are showcasing guests in the human design community and bringing recognition to them in the work that they do in the human design space and get to know them a little better in how they experiment and navigate their unique design. Today's beautiful conversation is with Emmy. Emmy is a 2-5 splanic manifester and the owner of Expansive Evolution. She supports individuals and teams in their journey of change, growth, and transformation. And it's interesting because change, growth, and transformation is what led me to her through her podcast. And we're going to get into that today because it was hugely impactful on me. So welcome, beautiful soul.
Oh, thank you so much, Annie. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Before we get into a lot of the deep guts, though, in this podcast, we really like to talk about, you know, your journey in finding human design, or you finding it, or human design finding you. Would you like to take us back into your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm about, I think, two and a half years in to discovering human design, rediscovering human design, actually, because I did come across the imagery of a body graph probably 5 or 6 years ago, immediately got turned off by it, which I hear many manifestors have a similar reaction to it. I think there's some sort of sense of, what is this and who is this guy telling me who I am? But the thing that really hooked me in was learning about my manifestor aura, giving me an explanation, finally, the only explanation that I've ever found thus far for why some people are just completely and very quickly repelled by me in an instant of meeting me. And that's what hooked me. That's what really got me hooked me. And I said, okay, there's something to this. I'm going to explore this more, and kept learning. And the more that I explored, the more I thought, okay, there's definitely some coincidences here, perhaps it knows a little bit more than I thought. And took many courses. I've learned from many different teachers already. And yeah, I've been offering readings for a year, and it's been a wonderful experience. Ironically, I have more reflector clients than projector clients, which is crazy. So yeah, that's been my journey thus far in a short little snippet.
Yeah, of course. Well, listening to how I found your podcast, and it was so nourishing to hear somebody speaking just as you are speaking in your podcast, you're sharing it. And you often mention, oh my gosh, I don't know if this is, you know, business suicide, you know, by sharing so much. But it's like, no, that's a beautiful sharing. So discovering you're a manifester. I know for me, discovering I'm a reflector, that's a completely different ballgame. But how, like you just saying there before, which I laughed about, it's like, oh, I didn't really want to get on board with this because it's like someone telling me who I am. Sorry, that made me laugh because it's so accurate. But what are some of the first things that you started to really notice in discovering human design? Like, how did you go into situations or social circles and really start feeling into that aura?
I think at the beginning, to really be honest, I think at the beginning, I had been exposed to so much information about the manifestor aura being so powerful and so impactful, and I did not really resonate. I could feel and remember that there were moments in my life when I had felt like, whoa, I feel like I had a really big impact just now, but they're fleeting moments. And it didn't feel like I, you know, kind of permanently carry this aura at all times with every person I interact with. So I felt in a way almost gaslit in a weird way, because it's like, but I don't feel this powerful, or I don't feel like I have any impact. And so I think it was a lot of undoing and unlearning to think, okay, so there's people in my life who have told me that I have big impact and big presence when I'm in a room with them, I never believed them. I thought they were just trying to make me feel good about myself. And the more that I spoke about it with my partner's a generator, and he would validate a lot of the things that human design was saying to me. And he actually really helped me integrate it more into my conscious awareness, that when you're not actually stepping into this power that you actually have, you're using it irresponsibly. And you're in fact hurting some people along the way when you're constantly disempowering yourself and asking, well, why are people reacting to me this way? And like, why would they do that? And how can people act like that around me, but not around you? And, you know, all these questions I had around social interactions that human design was speaking to. And yet for me, I have a defined head in Ajna. Sometimes I'm a bit slower to really get it in there in my brain. So he would help me because he has an open head in Ajna, and he would just be like, well, connecting the dots. And it's like, well, it's this, and it makes sense because of that and this and that. And it was a journey really of stepping into, okay, every time I'm about to enter a social situation, let's watch out for the cues. Let's see how this aura starts impacting people. So I love kind of doing that now. I actually love meeting new people now because I'm like, okay, let's see how this person reacts to me. It could go either way. So yeah, it's been really fun and interesting and a lot less hurtful when people are repelled by me. You know, now I don't take it so personally. Now I know this was kind of meant to be. This person wasn't meant to be in my life right now. And that's okay.
I think there's so much pressure often on manifestors, you know, when I can only imagine, sorry, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for you or all manifestors, but I could imagine that there's so much pressure. You know, you pull up the chart, it says to you, you're an initiator, you're here to impact. And it's like, as you were just saying there before, I didn't feel that at all. And I could imagine for me, if I was to have that, I'm just like, oh my gosh, what? So you mean now I've got to initiate everything? I've got to do all these things? So the, you know, the language can sometimes get quite convoluted, can't it? You know, and yeah. I speak to some readers and I say, how does that feel for you to read your aura is closed and repelling? It's like, ouch. Yeah.
Yeah, it is quite it's quite jarring and shocking. And in a way, it actually for me was an area of solace, though, because it did kind of give me, again, that explanation that this is what's going on. It's not because of what you were wearing that day or something you said or that you were smelly or whatever. Like, it was just that your aura just put them off. And for me personally, I'm a survivor of domestic violence and from people who I was supposed to trust the most, all the way to complete strangers in social situations in a big city. And, you know, when that kind of stuff happens to you, you really start asking, what's going on with me? Why am I attracting this type of behavior from men in a violent way, in a sexist way, in a patriarchal way? And also, when I started learning about being a woman manifester and that energy then potentially feeling threatening for men, that also gave me additional kind of explanation. So that was, again, as much as it was both upsetting, it was also a solace because it, again, just made me feel like, so they were just threatened this whole time?
Yeah.
You know, and people say that to make you feel better, like, oh, well, you know, guys do that because they're just insecure and, you know, they're threatened by you. And again, I just never really believed that stuff until now.
Yeah. And it's kind of like they try to snuff you out. Like, you know, if somebody shines brightly, it's like if you're a bright candle in a room and you're like too luminescent, that try and dim your light. Women do that to each other as well, or have done throughout eons as well, outside of it's yeah. Nasty shit, friend. So yeah. I could only imagine how that feels for somebody carrying that energy that you carry, that people are just constantly trying to pull you down, snuff you out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, I don't know if you've had this experience, I'd be curious to hear, but for me, knowing that, because I always felt different, and knowing that I was only part of 9 to 10% of the global population also made me feel like, okay, there's an explanation for this again. Yeah, did you feel that way, learning that it was only 1% being a reflector?
Yeah, I went on a 3-day bender, friend, when I found I often use my Australianism here, but I've kind of said to you off air, I said, oh, Canadians and Australians, we kind of get each other. But
Yeah.
I did, and it probably did last a lot longer than that, but I'm just going to call 3 days where I cried, laughed, literally walked around with this thing in front of me. Because, like you were saying, I felt so seen. I felt like I couldn't disprove it. And trust me, I've tried. I've got a first line. I've tried to disprove. I'm a critical thinker, and I just can't. I just go, when you feel it, you just go, okay, this is something that has, given me. That's the best way I can describe it. It's given me myself back to myself. Do you feel
Oh,
that as
that is
well?
so beautiful. Oh, I love that. Yeah, absolutely. I do feel that way. Yeah. And it's a journey, even still, of finding myself back to myself,
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about informing, if I may. I look after a little manifester here. He's a little special little boy who comes into my space a couple of times a week, and he mingles with my family. So all up, we have all types in this family when he's here. And I am learning from manifestors how to teach him to inform. How does that feel for you when you had to learn that, or not learn it, that's incorrect, but informing, how does that feel for a manifestor, from a manifestor?
Yeah, I mean, I was just telling a client this morning actually that I think it really actually took me a year to learn how to inform. It is a relearning, even as an adult, because I think we're taught as young children to fall in line. I grew up in a Japanese household, and there's strict rules, and there's strict rules around behavior, how to be a good child, a good girl, how to not upset the parents, how to not upset school, don't get called home by the principal, all these things. And what does a good Japanese girl do? So there's a lot of these kinds of, ways of parents saying, no, you can't do that. No, I don't like you doing that. No, that's dangerous for you. No, we don't do that. The proverbial we. And so I think as young manifestors, we learn, oh, so the world just wants to control me. And I think we internalize that and then start hiding things, maybe keeping things a secret. And it's kind of a metaphorical sneaking at midnight to go into the cookie jar to get the cookie. We start doing that with everything in our lives. And I think it shows up at work, in workplaces. I know I've definitely done things where I'm like, I don't need to tell them all the details. Let me just go ahead and do this because they're not going to like it. I know they're not going to like it. But that is an assumption that we also have as manifestors that I would love to challenge some manifestors with, that it's not so much that you're always right about people wanting to control you, and you're not always right about people being against what you want. And I think, at least for me, I really internalized that belief. I just thought the world is against me, and people say they love me, but they don't like it when I start getting free and wanting to do what I want to do. But what I had to learn with informing was start small. When you really don't want to inform, start with the small things. And some of the small things I did were things that I thought, I'm going to go and do this. And if someone tries to stop me, I don't care. I'm still going to go ahead and do it and fuck them. And I'm going to go ahead and inform as a practice and as an exercise. And I'm still going to go carry on and do my own thing. And what I found with every small thing that I informed about, people would actually be supportive and people would actually be receptive. And I did not get the resistance that I thought I would get. The irony of it all. So So then I started practicing with bigger and bigger things, like, oh, I want to purchase something quite expensive, or I'm going to take a trip here, you know, things that were more significant. Again, did not meet the resistance that I thought I would. You know, one example I can share is leaving a pretty safe and well-paying job with our local government to pursue human design. I mean, my mom was like, okay. And I thought I would get far more resistance from her. But by that time I had been, you know, practicing and forming, and I was getting good results. And that was yet another good result. You know, it wasn't like a, oh, I'm so happy for you, like, let me know what I can do for you. It wasn't that kind of support, but it wasn't resistance. And I think that there is this narrative amongst human design, you know, community that manifestors don't like informing because we don't want to be controlled, which is true to some degree. But what I also want to share is that it's very vulnerable for manifestors to inform. We actually have almost this childlike part of us that's still scared to inform because we don't want mommy or daddy or our guardians to say no. And when you feel that society is going to do that to you, and when you feel like your whole family or all your friends may do that to you, it's a vulnerable place. So again, I think there's this narrative that like manifestors are this big, powerful freight train and don't want to be controlled. Yes, true. But also we are like these little vulnerable kids inside of us that just don't want to say that we want another cookie. But if we had told mom, I want just one more cookie, maybe she would have said yes. Mm. You know?
I love that. Thank you. That's such a beautiful share on how it must feel. Just, you know, I know even in my experience just with this child manifestor, I am learning just to sort of say, well, I am doing this, you know, to sort of like mirror that back to say, I'm getting an apple now, you know, so that he can learn to say, I'm getting an apple now. And it's like, okay, good. You know, he doesn't, I don't want him to have to ask permission to say, is it okay? I want him to be empowered. Like that's just my take on it. Yeah. But in my circle, I have, when I discovered human design and I started running all my friends' charts, I don't know if you did this. I'd love to hear.
Of course.
You know, and I'm like, manifestor, 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 manifestor. And I realized that, and I joke to them now, I say, I have my own Queen's guard because that's how it feels.
Oh, wow.
I just feel like when I'm with them that they are, there's this massive shield around me. And so I've always been, there were times, I have a couple of friends who are South African and Dutch, and I just used to think that their directness was their different culture. I'm like, oh, that's just them. But I also realize now, no, that's them naturally living their design of just going, Annie, I'm doing this. And so I kind of get caught up and swept up in it. And I'm like, this is great. We're doing this.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. I love that you use the word Queen's Guard. That's so powerful. Like I can just visualize it in my head. That's like, oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah. I just don't, I've just had a natural grace with them, I suppose, because they naturally orbit towards me and I don't know why. One day I'm going to figure it out, but I think that I talk to different people and they always kind of, there's a certain type or a certain profile that really comes to them. I don't know if you have that. You were just saying there before that you have reflectors come to you, which is interesting. Do you have a certain profile that possibly clings to you?
I have so many 4/6s. Yeah. I mean, so like majority of the people around me in my personal life and through clients are 4/6s. And I have no 4-line energy in my chart, none. And so I love that I can learn from the people around me around like relationships and authenticity and intimacy. And how do you establish that? And how do you balance things when things get a little rough in relationships? Like I go to my 4/6 friends because I'm like, I need advice here.
And when you like, because you're splenic, and when they teach you about, I've got a splenic projector daughter, and I just, I love the now, I call them the now moments, like living in the now moments, and I see it in action all the time. How does that work for you? Like, how have you integrated your splenic authority?
I think the main thing has been movement for me.
Yeah.
I used to think when I first learned about the splenic authority that it was stillness, that if I meditate or if I just, you know, really tune in and visualize or try to ask myself the questions, that the answers would come. But it's ironically when I'm not intentionally trying to ask that the splenic hits come. So it'll be while I'm showering or washing the dishes or stretching and doing yoga or going for a walk, or sometimes even mid conversation, I'll be talking or listening, and then I hear the splenic hit come up. And so it's actually while I'm in movement. So I think that there's something there around the lymphatic system and the lymph moving through my body and the blood moving through my body that allows these universal, you know, kind of guidances to come through in the moment. So that's been a beautiful realization for me that, you know, it doesn't have to be like rigorous movement. It's just when you're in flow. And I think that flow word is important for me as a splenic authority. And it naturally comes up, and perhaps one day I'll be able to ask myself something and, you know, command the spleen to speak to me. So far, I have not been able to do that really. My mind usually just kicks in and gives me an answer, and I'm like, no, 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 not you. I'm not asking you. But yeah, so movement, it's been a really interesting experience with observing that the most powerful splenic hits I've ever had are usually around health or actually people passing. Mm-hmm. So I have some interesting experiences where, you know, one example that I've shared is I knew the moment that I had COVID. It was the first time I was getting it. I've had it twice, but the first time I was getting it, I was, it was in between lockdowns in Toronto. We had been invited to a theater event of a friend's, and, you know, you get the tickets and you get in the car and you get dressed up and you drive down, find parking, you know, it's a whole ordeal. As soon as me and my partner sat in our seats, and there's all this hustle and bustle around, everyone trying to find their seats around us, that splenic voice just said, "Emmy, leave right now. You're going to get COVID." I was like, what? We just sat down. We just paid for parking. Like, we did the whole thing. I don't want to disappoint my partner. I don't want to disappoint our friend. And so that was the first time after learning about my splenic authority that it came so loud and clear. And I said, you know what? This is okay. Noted, noted. What I did with it was I did choose the old way. I chose to stay in that theater, watch the whole show, even went out to some sort of bar or something after that. And I was like, okay, let's test this out. Was this true or not? Girl, it was true. Of course it was true. So it tested positive within a matter of days. And so that was my first, you know, knowing about my human design, knowing about my splenic authority, hearing the spleen telling me, you're going to get sick right now, get out. And so that was really interesting. And I've had a few other instances where I'm in front of people, usually older people, and my spleen kicks in and says, this is going to be the last time you're going to see them. They're going to die. And so I've had that happen 3 times in my life with people in my life, and it's been accurate each time within a matter of weeks or months. And, you know, I was talking to someone, I don't know if they're splenic, but they have this gift, I suppose you could call it as well. And I asked them, you know, what am I supposed to do with this? Am I supposed to, you know, create programming now for this to help other people about it? Am I supposed to really cultivate this skill? And she said, you know, you don't have to do anything with that. A gift is a gift, and you get to choose how you're going to use it. And maybe it's useful just for you. And maybe that's okay. And I really loved that permission that she gave me, that with intuitive gifts, sometimes you may be compelled to share it with others and help others. And sometimes you may be like, well, that was interesting. Okay, I just received some sort of download, some sort of moment of truth. And okay, I'm going to use that. So yeah, I hope that that helps anybody else that's listening that's a splenic authority, that you don't necessarily have to do any big old show about it.
I've often joked with my daughter now, she's 8. This sounds really, I've laughed about this, going, I don't have a codependent relationship on my daughter. However, I have, over since she was young and knowing human design, I trust her. And I've always tried to encourage her. Mm. And there have been a few occasions where I've said to her, you know, because if she wants to do something, okay, let's go and visit these places so you can get a feel of how this feels for you. And if it's a no, it's a no, straight up, bang. If it's a yes, it's a yes. She goes, yep, here. And I'm like, cool. But there have been a couple of occasions where she said, I don't feel comfortable here. And I'm like, okay, we're out. Because even though I have all the spidey senses, I've always sort of thought my openness as a reflector is very broad. Hers is very specific, as is yours, you know? Mm. It's the same with projectors and stuff. It's very like in the moment, whereas ours can be very out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love what you were sharing there before about just sometimes we get these downloads or information come to us, because reflectors have this a lot as well. We have a lot of information coming through our body, but not all of it's meant to be shared, because sometimes when we go out there and share a heap of stuff, it gets a kickback. It's just people, it's like we're going in for the jugular. We're going, have you had a look at this thing here, I'm gonna dig out your whole heart, look. You know, it can be pretty brutal. Okay, not that brutal, but
but for some people receiving it, it can be. I have to say, as a non-reflector, having reflector friends, you know, one of my closest friends is a reflector. And I mean, he's the most honest with me out of all of my friends. He will tell me the brutal truth about me and the things that he's like, you have these tendencies. What are you doing right now? You look like an idiot. You know, I mean, he can tell me these things and still love me wholeheartedly, and that those two things are not even interrelated. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to witness when he does this to me and for me, because I'm, you know, half offended, half hurting. And then he's like, all right, so are we going to go get ice cream now? And I'm like, do you still love me? He's like, what are you even talking about? Of course I do.
Well, clearly he doesn't have a completely open G.
Right?
And I guess that kind of segues us into this. As I was saying in the intro, I had been or have been doing a lot of kind of work around my completely open G. And just for those playing along at home, we have no gates in our identity center. So when someone says open or completely open, that's what we're referring to. And I've been kind of really looking into this, because there's a lot of talk, a lot of language in this space where I was starting to not feel aligned with. And I wanted, you know, because as you have mentioned, it's all about loss of love, loss of identity. And it just feels all like, oh, yuck. And I've kind of started to evaluate this open G of mine as a pure heart and love expression. So flipping the switch. And so when I stumbled across your podcast, and I was sharing this with you off air, I was listening to you share with vulnerability, which I fucking loved. I'm like, this is like you were literally in me. That sounds a bit crass, doesn't it? But I was, our energies were entwined. And I'm listening to this podcast of yours last year, and I was in the car, and I was on my way to a client's, and I had to pull over and message her and say, I'm going to be a little late, because I needed to hear the rest of what you were saying, because it affected me. And I thought, this is the true experience of a completely open G. So sorry, I've been prattling on there a while, but I publicly wanted to thank you for that, because yeah, it's just it's fucking beautiful. So I'm going to link that podcast so people can check it out. But share with me, if you may, your experiences of having this completely open G center.
Wow, thank you so much for saying that. First of all, again, it's just, you know, it was a, yeah, I've been sharing some pretty vulnerable things on my podcast. And one of those areas is certainly with my, you know, OpenG experiences. And knowing that I'm impacting someone that deeply is everything. It just means so much to me. For those listening, I have my hand on my heart because I'm so touched and moved by your words, Annie. So thank you. But yeah, my experience with my OpenG has, as I mentioned earlier, has led me to looking for love in the wrong places, in dangerous places. And, you know, there were times when I have experienced physical brutality to the point that I didn't know if I was going to survive or not. So it has gone to those extents. And I think certainly feeling lost when it comes to my life direction, the way that I think I described it in my podcast, which still really resonates with me, is you're on this little tiny boat that has room for one, and you're in a vast ocean. You cannot see land anywhere in sight. You don't have a compass. You don't know which way north is or home is. And you're just bouncing around in those waves in the ocean, and you don't know where to go or how to get there. And I almost want to go to the extent to say that you don't even have any oars. Like, it just feels like you're really at the whim of what the universe is going to present to you. And, you know, I mean, I go through that experience so often, especially throughout my 20s, I'd say, really, really feeling lost with what am I supposed to do next? Who am I supposed to be? You know, I do have innocence motivation. And so the transferred is desire. And so sometimes I think I end up relying on the desire motivation to try and dictate where I'm supposed to go, which again just furthers my not self feeling of being absolutely lost, absolutely lost. Can't even tell you which way is up or down. And I would say that the feeling really in those moments is absolute despair and like, just, I feel like I'm at the bottom of the barrel. Like sometimes I just really feel like there's no hope for me in my life, and there, I'm not going to be able to do anything good with my life or anything good with my manifestor energy or anything like that. So if anyone does feel those moments of despair, trust us, we know what it feels like. We've been there, and I may go there again, maybe next week, who knows? But in really contemplating this despair and contemplating the, yeah, as you were saying, this like bad stuff and negative stuff around the open G, you know, I was like, I was reminded that in our openness, in our undefined areas, we have these magical gifts. So what are the gifts that I can find here in my open G? And I realized that I had really, I had experienced the severity of the challenges of love. I'm going to put that in quotation marks, because what was called love for me ended up being abusive love. And I have seen the extremes of changing my career multiple times. And, you know, with that openness, you experience extremes. And I think for any reflector, probably, especially if it's an open G, really experiencing like, first I was a nurse, and then now I'm doing human design, and then I was a fireman. Like, who knows where it goes?
Isn't that the trick of surrender right there? Just,
right?
You know, surrender. I think of the word sometimes surrender, and I'm like, I get it. I want to surrender, but I also don't want to lose myself. Surrender can sometimes be I'm palming it off. How about we just, you know, accept? And I'm a deep thinker. But yeah, I just go the acceptance of just that's been the trick for me too. The acceptance of just being able to go, okay. As you were saying with your little boat, understanding that when the new winds come, which is the environment, you might be pushed north, you might be pushed east. That's so hard to, air quoting, surrender, but accept.
Oh yeah. My gosh. Oh, I love the way that you describe that. It's so true. I mean, it's hard because I think we're brainwashed to believe that you're meant to go in a certain direction. And, you know, people even find spiritual modalities like astrology or human design and think, this is going to tell me where I'm supposed to go. And the hilarious irony is that, yeah, I probably did come to human design thinking, oh, I'm finally going to find out who I'm supposed to be. And then just discover I have an open G. And I'm like, well, for fuck's sake. Thanks a lot. That didn't tell me anything. Just as lost as before. But of course, I'm learning about all the other areas of my design. But it is kind of funny, though, for people to come to human design and discover, oh, I'm everybody and nobody at the same time. Yeah, but there is beautiful gifts. There's beautiful gifts that allow us to really, I think, get in tune with, you know, this whole body awareness and like where our the red side, the design is meant to be taking us, and where the universe or God or whoever it is that's supposed to be taking us, where we have to go and whatever the next chapter of the book is. And I've liked and enjoyed using that term around the chapter, because it releases the pressure to think that I'm going to have one long chapter of a life direction. And it's not one hero's journey. You know, people with open G's have like 10 hero's journeys in their lifetime. So I that's given me a lot of ease and relief from the pressure of trying to find one thing. And I like to, you know, experience travel. I like to experience different chapters of my life and different elements of me and showing up in different ways around different people. And I'm really learning to embrace that and embracing life itself. And to me, I don't know if you agree, but to me, as much as I am quite defined as a manifester, I feel like I've been gifted with the open G to really experience all that life has to offer. You know, perhaps as a reflector, you may certainly feel that way, but for me, I feel like it's a real gift that out of any of my centers, it's the G center that's open. And I feel like it's a wonderful opportunity, actually, that I've been gifted, because I get to experience so much about this universe and this thing we call life and this planet that we call Earth and these beings that we call humans. You know, it's a real privilege to be able to take it all in this way. So I do think that love languages that we, you know, both receive and experience, but also share to others is a massive gift. And supporting my clients when they do have a defined or undefined G center, but that open G experience allows me to do that for my clients. And yeah, I think those are probably the gifts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would love to hear your experience with your open G.
Oh gosh. That's, I think, why I had to pull over in the car, because just listening to that podcast of yours and how you navigated, I was like, I know I'm completely different aura type and my life's different, but it was sameies, you know? And I thought, wow, how much I've been pushed and pulled throughout my life by everybody else. And there was a part of me that got really angry, like mad, bad angry through a lot of years of just, fuck you. No one tells me what to do. And the hard ass Annie came out because of that. It's just like, no. But I was still pushed and pulled because I couldn't help it. But the ego really kicked in. It was just like, no one's going to tell me who I can be or who I can't be any longer. And so what happened is in that space of putting up these walls, I became really resentful, really bitter, do you know? And it was just like, it actually worked against me, because that's not how it's supposed to be. So I then had to spend time kind of like, you know, pulling down all those bricks that I'd created and opening back up to that space. And that's probably been one of a 10-year journey of, and I'm still in that space of cultivating compassion and kindness for myself and being able to be vulnerable and open and lead with my heart, you know, whereas the old Annie would always be like, you can't be sensitive, you can't be this, you can't be that. But shame, I speak a lot about shame, because shame around not being able to do something for a long period of time before I'd get bored or I'd need to shift, you know, and life would just move me along, or something had happened. I'm like, why am I the only one in all my family or friends that just can't seem to figure out what I want to do? So now it's like someone asked me the other day, Annie, you need to, could you write a bio? And I went, oh, this is funny.
Because
it's like it'll change like 1 week on this, 1 week on that. Like I have learned now that I'm nearly approaching 50, so I'm getting to this space. But it's like, as I said to you before, it's deep surrender, it's deep acceptance of just going, I will change, no doubt about it, and just knowing that this is where I am at the moment. And I say to my partner now, just me being me should be enough. Because when I lead with this, that's it. That's all I have to do. But I had a podcast with someone. And they said to me, "You're a reflector with a completely open G, so you're essentially you're a double reflector." And I'm like, "Oh,
whoa, that's an interesting concept. Holy moly, yeah. Oh, and it's you're so right. And thank you for reminding me of that aspect that I also shared on my podcast of like these protective walls." That I had built too around like a no one, especially as a manifestor. Manifestors don't like being told what to do. So ironically, with an open G center, people are trying to give me advice left, right, and center about my life direction. And yet I was like, no, I will not have anyone dictate my life direction. It's a no for everyone, all of you. And, you know, of course these people are doing it out of love, but I really did block myself off from the beautiful gifts that could have happened if I had said, oh, let me consider that. Or if I at least pass it through my authority, you know, to say like, well, spleen, what is it saying? But no, it was just no, 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 no to everybody. And I really did not even get to experience, I think, the beauty that I feel like I'm really starting to step into experiencing with life right now. And it was like, yeah, I think it's an interesting concept around, you know, we keep generally hearing in human design teachings that it's the undefined centers that get conditioned, but we never talk about these walls that we build up to protect ourselves with this, you know, undefinition. and, you know, reflectors having that ability to have the aura that is kind of protective allows perhaps a net additional layer, but of course you're still going to be trying to protect yourself and saying your no's and drawing your boundaries. And to me, you know, having trauma and, you know, healing from PTSD meant that I did have to swing the pendulum, and I'm okay with that. I'm not regretful that I did say all those no's and that I blocked myself off. I'm absolutely not regretful because I know that my healing journey required me to go to the, you know, end of the spectrum or the swing of the pendulum to say, you know what, I need to learn to say no. So I'm going to start saying no to everything. So I did that. And now I'm seeing, okay, I can see that there were some cons there. So let me swing back into a more balanced state that allows me to truly tune into my splenic authority to determine what's a yes or what's a no for me. But yeah, it's a challenging one, especially as a manifestor, because you have to learn. Some people will give you advice and maybe it's the tone, it's the delivery. Are they trying to tell you what to do? I don't know. But, you know, with an open G, you're going to have at least a consideration because these people and these suggestions are coming into your awareness for a reason. You know, and it doesn't mean that you have to say yes to all of them, but at least consider them.
I love that. And, you know, one thing I've also really learned about the open G is, like, I know for you, even though we look back throughout our life and we're like, well, did I do that or did that happen to me? But you know what, even if we were to gift ourselves, our past selves, the knowledge that we have now, we wouldn't have been prepared to hear it. Because one of the gifts of these open centers is they have to journey through it. They have to, so that we can then, it's this wind up of energy that just needs to build to be able to then allow it to spring forth to benefit humanity, to benefit the people that come into our awareness. It's like a third line, really. Like it's that experiential learner through the heart.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that.
That's just weird. Like, that just came out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, my defined Ajna was like, yeah, all these puzzle pieces, like you totally just connected them. And I'm like, oh, of course. Thank you. That's beautiful and brilliant and so true.
I love that because you and I both got you've got the channel, the 1156, and I lead my sun gate is in gate 56. And I was really excited when you shared your chart with me because I'm like, oh my God, finally, I have a link up. No, I get really excited. Like I can actually draw down and speak correctly what I'm trying to say, as opposed to just going, oh, I gotta think about it and it's not coming out.
Yay!
Yay, thank you. We have been going for a while. This has been such an honor. Thank you so much for being here with us. And thank you just for sharing yourself. And I'm going to put in the show notes the link to your podcast. But can you share with us you and what you're offering to the world as a part of your business, Emmy?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. So my business is called Expansive Evolution. I think it really aligned up with my manifestor freedom, you know, that I desire, but also with my own incarnation cross. And I really love supporting my clients with readings or with coaching in their own journey of expansive evolution, you know, finding their evolution to step into themselves as we've been talking about and expanding. You know, we just talked about in a way our open G centers kind of contracting, right? And putting up these walls. And so it's really this like process of unfolding and emerging and expanding. So I just offer an initial reading, and then once you go through that, and if you're interested to continue to work with me, then you can buy a coaching package with me. And I am working on some other projects that hopefully will be released next year. And we're recording this in February, so this is going to be a while, but I am excited about those projects that I'm already working on in the background. And you can find me on Instagram at expansive.evolution or on my website, expansiveevolution.com. And I look forward to meeting you if you feel called.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, Annie. It's been a pleasure.
You are welcome. Such a gift. Everyone's such a gift to the world. And it's just beautiful to sit in space with people and hear their actual journey. So thank you again.
Thank
and we
you.
Look forward to chatting with you soon.
Yes, I would love that.
Thank you.